Chapter 15 The Eternal Tree of Life Verses 1 and 2
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdhva Moola Madhashakam Ashwattham Prahuravyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Veda Savedavit Adaschordvam Prasutastasya Shakha Gunapravruddha Vishayapravalaha अदश्च मूलान्यनुसंततानि कर्मानुबंधीनि मनुष्यलोके.
The Blessed Lord said, With roots upward, with branches downward, there is said to be an immutable fig tree, Ashvatta, whose leaves are the Vedic verses. He who knows that knows the Vedas. Above and below are spread out its branches. Grown through the gunas, with the objects of the senses as the shoots, and the roots are spread out below, resulting in the bondage of actions in the human world. The Bhagavad Gita is a modified version of the Vedas and the Upanishads. The eternal tree of the universe described in these verses is also mentioned in the Katha Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, Atharva Veda, and Rigveda. The phenomenal world is compared to a tree whose roots are in the heavens and whose branches spread upward and downward. One who knows that tree is called learned in Vedic knowledge, for that tree contains all the Vedic verses as its leaves. Its shade gives comfort to tired and weary scholars. The gunas cause the pleasant sense objects to blossom in that tree of the universe. Sound, touch, color, form, taste, and smell form additional roots, which spread extensively all over. The Ashvatta, cosmic tree, is described here as an imperishable tree, although it has been previously stated that this universe is transitory. The universe is a manifestation of one supreme imperishable reality. And that absolute reality is all-pervading and exists eternally with all its splendor and glory. It is immutable, yet this universe is transitory, for all the objects of the external universe constantly change as a result of the three gunas, and the universe itself finally is absorbed into the unmanifest. But after the universe returns to its unmanifested form, it eventually comes back again to manifestation exactly as it was before. In this sense, it is imperishable. It is sustained by that which is eternal. In reality, the essential potentiality of anything in the world does not change at all. The existence of anything in the world remains unchanged. It is never destroyed. Only the forms and names that it assumes are subject to change, decay, and destruction. For instance, modern astronomers say that in aeons to come, the sun will become dead, that it will lose all its fuel and no longer emanate light. But that is a limited perspective. For the light that the sun is emanating will even then continue to radiate throughout the universe as long as the universe exists. That energy may change form, but it never disappears. And even when the universe itself seems to be dissolved, it still exists in a potential form. The self-existent reality, the very summum bonum of life, remains unchangeable. In human life, the body changes, but not Atman. Without Atman, the body cannot exist. The body exists only because of the existence of Atman. The tree of life is deeply rooted in the soil of nature and the power of Atman. Because Atman is imperishable, the tree of life is also considered to be imperishable. Verses 3 and 4
Na rupam asyeha tathopa labhyate, nanto na chadir na cha sampratishtha. Ashvatthamenam suvirudha moolam asanga shastrena drudena chitva tatah padam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gata nanivartanti bhuyaha तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्तिः प्रसृता पुराणि.
Its form is not apprehended as it appears. It has no end, no beginning or foundation. Cutting this tree of very firmly grown roots with the strong weapon of non-attachment, that higher state should be searched throughout, arriving at which one no longer returns, saying, I take recourse in that very Purusha, from whom perennial activity commenced. The understanding of the Ashvata tree is beyond the grasp and comprehension of ordinary people, for their minds remain engrossed in the objects of enjoyment. They do not think of the consequences that arise from pursuing sense objects. They think that the transitory and temporal world is all there is, and thus make the enjoyment of the mundane world the goal of their lives. But those who have carefully examined the phenomenal world know that they are caught by the snare of deaths and births. When they understand the basis of their bondage, they also realize that they can cut themselves free from their entanglements with the powerful weapon of non-attachment. The tree of mundane existence has also grown its roots deeply in the soil of the mind and heart of man. Only with the help of non-attachment can those roots be cut. When non-attachment is practiced, the aspirant becomes free from the bondage created by charms, temptations, and attractions to the objects of the world. The tree of worldly existence does not cause bondage for the aspirants who have attained a state of non-attachment. In the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said that there are two birds sitting on the branches of the same tree of life. One enjoys the fruits of the tree, but the other remains a witness. The one who enjoys also suffers, but the one who witnesses is free. When the individual soul remains attached to that which is in the vast reservoir of the unconscious, the storehouse of merits and demerits, or impressions and samskaras, he suffers. But the moment he becomes non-attached, he is free. The aspirant can attain a profound state of non-attachment and become free forever and ever. Verses 5 and 6.
निर्माण मोहा जितसंग दोषा अध्यात्म नित्या विनिवृत्त कामाः द्वंद्वैर विमुक्ताः सुख दुःख संयैर गच्छन्ति मूढाः पदमव्ययम् तत् न तद् भासयते सूर्यो न शशांको न पावकः यद्गत्वा न निवर्तन्ते तद्धाम परमं मम.
Free of pride and delusion, having conquered the stain of attachment, permanently dwelling in spiritual knowledge, turned away from desires, liberated from the pairs of opposites, named pleasure and pain, the undeluded ones go to that imperishable state. Neither the sun, nor the moon, nor the fire illuminates that, going to which they do not return. That is my supreme abode. When the aspirant attains freedom from egotism, pride, delusion, and attachments, he becomes content within. Free from all desires, he attains wisdom, and finally, the highest state of knowledge, which is imperishable in its nature. That knowledge is profound in itself. The light of the sun, moon, and fire have limitations, but the light of knowledge is the highest of all lights. No light is able to dispel the darkness of ignorance except the light of knowledge. The source of all light is in the depths of Atman, not in the sun, moon, or fire. The latter are just fragments of the light of lights. The aspirant whose delusion has been completely dispelled by the light of knowledge attains the supreme Brahman. Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that the imperishable Brahman is the final abode of all aspirants. Verses 7 through 11.
Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhutas sanatanah manas shashtan indriyani prakritisthani karshati Shariram yadavapnoti yachap yutkramatishwarah grihitvaitani samyati vayur gandhani vashaya. Shrotram chakshus sparshanam cha rasanam granameva cha adishthaya manaschayam vishayan upasevate. Utkramantam stitam vapi bhunjanam vagunanvitam vimudha nanupashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshushah. Yatanto yoginaschainam pashyantyatman yavasthitam, yatanto pyakritatmano nainam pashyantyachetasah.
In the world of the living ones, my own eternal particle has become the soul, jiva. It pulls the senses, with mind as the sixth, whose basis is prakriti. Whichever body this Lord attains, and from whichever one he departs, he goes, taking the mind and senses along in their repository, like the wind carrying fragrances. Ruling over the senses of hearing and taste and touch and smell, as well as the mind, the soul experiences the objects of the senses. The stupefied ones do not observe him, whether endowed with gunas. He is departing or staying or experiencing. Only those with the eyes of knowledge truly see. The yogis, endeavoring, see him dwelling within the self. The unwise, who have not cultivated the self, do not see him even though they endeavor. The individual soul is part of the Supreme Self. The individual soul lives consecutively in various bodies. As the breeze carries the fragrance of flowers, so the individual soul, when casting off the body, carries the samskaras with it. Those samskaras motivate the individual soul to dress up in another garment, another body, and thus rebirth occurs. The individual soul is the enjoyer, and the body is like a garment that is changed when it is no longer useful to that soul. The ignorant are not aware of this, but the aspirant who follows the path of discipline with full efforts and a one-pointed mind, and who has no desire for external enjoyments, realizes the truth. The jiva, individual soul, is but a fragment, a tiny part of God. The space inside a cup, the space inside a room, and the space outside are essentially one and the same. We can impose our own imaginary boundaries on the space, but the space remains one individual entity. No power ever existed or will exist that can cut the space or divide it into small or big parts. In the same way, there is no power that can cut the eternal Atman into pieces and make a small fragment into a jiva. When we see a particular human being, his form and size, he appears to be separated from the whole, and we call him an individual. But that experience of separation occurs because the ego is not in the habit of acknowledging the whole. That makes one think that the individual soul is only a fragment of the whole. In reality, it is not. When the yogi fathoms all the boundaries from gross to subtlemost, and crosses all the boundaries of individuality, he realizes that there is nothing but the real self, which is the self of all. Verses 12 through 15.
Yada dityagatam tejo jagad bhasayate khilam, yachandramasi yachagnau tat tejo viddhi mamakam. Gama vishyacha bhutani dharayam yahamojasa, pushnami chaushadhi sarvaha, somo bhutva rasatmaka. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashritaha, pranapana sama yuktaha, pacham yannam chaturvidam. Sarvasya chaham hrudisannivishto mattasmutir jnanam apohanam cha. Vedaishta sarvai rahameva vedyo vedantakrit veda videva chaham.
That brilliance, which remaining in the sun illuminates the entire world, that which is in the moon as well as in the fire, know that to be my brilliance. Having entered the earth, I uphold the beings with energy. I also nourish all the plants, having become soma, whose nature is all juice and flavor. I, becoming the universal fire in the belly, dwelling in the body of breathing creatures, joined with prana and apana, digest the four kinds of food. I am also situated in the heart of all. From me proceed memory, knowledge, and negation. I am the subject to be known through all the Vedas, the author of Vedanta, as well as the knower of the Vedas am I alone. The blazing sun, the gentle light of the moon, and the golden flames of the fire belong to the one Supreme Self. The power of the Supreme Lord expressed through these manifestations enables the plants to grow, and in turn gives the vegetable kingdom the capacity to nourish animals and human beings. The fire of life, prana, that dwells in every human body is the fire given by the Supreme Lord. All intelligence and knowledge have only one ultimate source. The power of knowledge in the human mind that enables it to know and to remember also emanates from the Supreme Lord. The same power emanated all the Vedas and Vedanta. All discussions and praises of the Vedas and Vedanta are devoted to the source of that power. The Supreme Lord exists everywhere. He lives in all beings, and his power prompts all human beings to function and to do their duties. It is important for the aspirant to realize that there is only one truth within and without. That awareness will lead him to the source of the light that is found in the sun, moon, and stars, as well as the light of knowledge, through which the human being understands and realizes the goal of life, the self of all.
Verses 16 through 18. कूटस्थोक्षर उच्यते उत्तमः पुरुषस्त्वन्यः परमात्मेत्युदाहृतः यो लोकत्रयम् आविश्य बिभर्त्यव्यय ईश्वरः यस्मात् क्षरमतीतोऽहम् अक्षरादपि चोत्तमः अतोऽस्मि लोके वेदे च प्रथितः पुरुषोत्तमः.
There are two conscious principles, purushas, in the world, perishable and imperishable. The perishable one is all the beings, and the absolute one is said to be imperishable. But the highest conscious principle, Purusha, is elucidated as the Supreme Self, Paramatman, the immutable sovereign who has entered and then upholds and nurtures the three worlds. Because I am higher than the perishable and also beyond the imperishable one, therefore, both in the world and in the Vedas, I am glorified as the highest self. These verses use two different terms, kshara, perishable, and akshara, imperishable. In this universe, we experience two realities. One is constantly changing, and the other never changing. One goes through constant birth, change, death, and destruction. And the other is everlasting, with no change at all. In human life, there are three units. One unit is made up of the body, breath, senses, and conscious mind. The second consists of the unconscious mind and the individual soul. And the third is the ultimate eternal reality, the Supreme Self. The first unit is subject to change and destruction. The second is semi-immortal, and the third is completely immortal. The first and second exist only because of the power of the third, the Supreme Self, which is the source of life and light, and which nourishes and supports the whole universe. It is the Supreme Self that is the highest of all. The sages and Vedas call him the Supreme Lord. The aspirant should understand that the body, senses, breath and conscious mind are one unit, the gross unit of life. That unit constantly undergoes change, from birth to death. The second unit is the unconscious mind, which possesses and stores all the impressions and memories within itself, and remains attached as a vehicle to the individual self, jiva. When the first unit separates from the second unit after death, the unconscious mind and individual soul continue to exist. When the individual soul becomes detached from its vehicle and realizes the Supreme Self, one is free from the rounds of births and deaths and is liberated. When the realization of the Supreme Self is accomplished, the individual soul becomes one with the Supreme Self. The student should understand and firmly know that the Supreme Self resides in the subtlemost recesses of the body, and that the physical body is only an outer and gross sheath. The journey that one should follow in the course of his life is not a journey in the external world, but an internal journey, leading from gross to subtle, and finally to the subtlemost Supreme Self. Verses 19 and 20.
Yo mam evam asammudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata iti guhyatamam shastram idamuktam mayanagha etad buddhva buddhiman syat kritakrityascha bharata.
The undeluded one who knows me this way as the Supreme Spirit, he, all-knowing, devotes himself to me with his entire being, O descendant of Bharata. I have taught you this secretmost science, O sinless one. Awakening to this, one becomes endowed with wisdom, fulfilled as to all actions, O descendant of Bharata. As long as one is deluded by external allurements and dissipated by their various enjoyments, temptations, and attractions, he remains unaware of the beauty, grandeur, glory, and majesty of the Supreme Self. But when the aspirant possesses the knowledge of both the external and internal worlds, and knows the highest of all, he serves the Supreme Self with his full devotion and dedication. The secret knowledge of the path of self-realization has been imparted to Arjuna and to other aspirants. The key is to search, look, and see within. One who sees the Supreme Lord in his wholeness and then does his duty attains and accomplishes the purpose of life. Here ends the 15th chapter, in which the secret knowledge imparted to those who are on the path of self-realization is explained.